Hello everyone and welcome back to episode 168 of your favourite Formula One show. Yes, Jamie and I return this weekend as we look towards the Japanese Grand Prix. One of... Honestly, Jamie, I feel like now potentially one of the most overrated races on the calendar. Suzuka, when was the last time it gave us a good race?
That's a bit harsh on Suzuka. I love it. The drivers love it.
Don't get me wrong. It's a driver's track,
yeah.
But it's too narrow for a Formula One race nowadays.
We need some of these every now and then. It's not a terrible race, I think.
No.
They do seem to... If they modified the last... And we're going really down the rabbit hole immediately. The last chicane is a little too dirty, airy. If it was... Yeah. If they made the last chicane a bit easier to follow, because then you've got the big run through 130R and the big run to turn one, I think that would be fine.
I reckon... DRS down through 130R. That's your answer.
Yeah, and everyone can Jerome D'Ambrosio. No, Lucas Degrassi it, sorry.
Yep, exactly.
Wrong Virgin driver. yeah, I quite like it. I think it gave us quite a good race in 2019. And then it was obviously off the grid for 2 years. One year, definitely.
2 years.
So that's only 3 races ago. So that's not bad.
No, okay. I will just die on the hill that Fuji needs at least a shared partnership over the Grand Prix with Suzuka. Or they both get a Grand Prix each year. Because Japan is another country that I feel like deserves 2 races.
Oh, they're fans. Some of the best fans in the world, to quote Lewis Hamilton.
Exactly.
They're brilliant.
Exactly. Exactly. But of course, yeah, obviously, this week, I mean, it feels like there's never really a lot to preview in terms of the on-track action, is there, Jamie? But after, obviously, the Australian Grand Prix a couple of weeks ago, it does mean that on paper it looks like we've actually got quite a good championship battle going on so far this season, doesn't it? 4 points, is it, the gap between Max and Leclerc?
Yeah. Yeah, there's 11 points covering the top four in the championship.
Wild.
Which is quite something. If we get that in Abu Dhabi, I'll eat a shoe live on the show.
Wonderful. But there's going to be a lot of shoe eating between us between now and the end of the year. But yeah, I mean, going on into this one though, we've kind of only really got a few notes to talk about, don't we? Obviously, we'll go into predictions and everything like that as well. Of course, there will be timestamps linked down below if you just want to go to a certain point. But probably the biggest news that's come out since Albert Park is that Susie Wolf is in fact going to be suing the FIA in international court, which is quite impressive.
Yeah, and I think it's probably fair enough, if you ask me, based on, you know, they completely tried to open up a case against her, very defamationing, if that's a word, that's definitely not a word.
But, defamationary.
Yeah, defamationary and
defamatory.
Yeah,
I don't know. Accusing
her and Toto Wolff of collaboration, illegal collaboration. Obviously, she has a role or had a role within the FIA, Toto, team principal Mercedes. So, you know, you can kind of put two and two together and see why. But they're both above board people, and they wouldn't seek advantages like that, you know, to help Mercedes out in that way. I think Mercedes are one of the most play by the rules. Teams, if you ask me. You look at the end of 2021, Jonathan Wheatley was on the radio asking them to change the rules and Mercedes were just taking it. So yeah, I think it's totally fair enough for Susie Wolf to be doing this to set the record straight. Obviously it didn't go anywhere in the first place, but it was still massively defamatory, and that's the word that I was looking for before.
Yeah.
And yeah, you kind of see Lewis Hamilton is backing her, which is always a good sign. And yeah, I hope she wins, gets the money.
And, I don't think they're in desperate need for the money, to be fair.
No.
I mean, Toto Wolff is pretty much now a billionaire. But yeah, I think obviously the other big thing as well, isn't it, was the idea that, of course, this came out and originally the FIA tried to do it through their own systems, which was teams reporting other teams. And of course, obviously we had that weird incident, didn't we, where every team came out with identical statements saying none of them had investigated this. None of them had reported to the FIA, so it was quite clearly that the FIA were investigating it themselves. But let's be fair as well, even if she has passed on some information to Mercedes, it hasn't helped the car, has it? They're absolutely terrible this year.
Yeah, Hamilton, maybe she got the information from Sauber.
Exactly. Hamilton is behind Lance Stroll in the championship. Yes, and that is not the energy I need in my world of Formula One.
We absolutely love it. He's only 2 points ahead of Yuki Tsunoda and Ollie Bearman.
He is, which is crazy as well. But to be fair, he has only done one more race, and he's only finished one more race than Ollie Bearman in a worse car. True. I mean, Mercedes so far this year are probably fifth best.
I think over the long term. And Aston Martin.
You reckon they won't even get back ahead of McLaren?
No, as in right now, if you take car pace average, I think they'll be fourth. I think Aston have had a couple of strong tracks already. But I guess every track is the same now, so maybe Aston will stay ahead. Like, yeah,
well,
I'd
Aston
be very surprised.
Aren't ahead still, let's not forget, in the championship.
Are they not? Oh, by a point. Yeah, so they're a point behind. I think you look at Bahrain, Mercedes were definitely faster than Aston. But the other two tracks, they weren't. So Suzuka, I'd be surprised if Mercedes were behind Aston Martin again. But we shall see.
I mean, this Suzuka, obviously, on paper, should be a McLaren track.
It should be a McLaren track. Obviously, first double podium in a few years. Last year at the 2023 race, Oscar Piastri's first inaugural podium. First of many, I'm sure. And, yeah, it should be a good track for McLaren. We'll see if we both agree with that later on.
Do we know if they're returning with like the weird trophies that you had to make out with? I hope they're not.
They might have come up with something even weirder. We'll wait and see. They haven't announced the trophies yet, I don't believe.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I hope not, in the nicest way possible.
They were very odd, weren't they?
Yeah, they were bizarre, and I really do hope they don't come back. But, I mean, yeah, luckily, of course, Jamie, obviously the Grand Prix is at 6 a.m. this weekend us UK folk. I will be getting up for that.
I'm actually at a stag do, so I probably won't.
What? What? Jamie on a stag do?
Don't worry, it's a very tame stag do.
I want to know plans for this stag do now.
Well.
Come on.
Well, I'm actually going go-karting, which I'm adamant I'm going to win.
You always are, though.
I don't even care that it's, you know, you're meant to let the groom win, but here we are.
The thing is, what you got to know, ladies and gents, is when Jamie goes go-karting, of course, he's actually only 5'2", so he's normally the lightest person there by about 20 kilos.
We haven't been go-karting, have we?
We've never been go-karting together.
No. We should get a Knowing Wheel go-kart episode going. But I will say, for an amateur, I am quite good at go-karting. And the rest of the people there, and you know, they're not Formula One fans. They're not go-kart semi-regulars. So I should. In my head, I'm the favourite, so I better win. And then we're going axe throwing.
Wild night out, don't you? Fair play. And your mates.
And then we're tenting in someone's back garden. So, so we'll get a barbecue going, we'll get the bevs out, and then that'll be it. And so I'll be in a tent at 6 a.m. when the race is going on.
Are you going to be back in the house by 10:30 at night then?
I mean, I hope I'll be able to watch the Grand Prix or listen to the Grand Prix at the very least on the radio in the morning, but we'll see. Probably more likely to be listening.
That is incredible. Jamie is on a wild stag do, ladies and gentlemen. Yes. It's not what Knowing Wheel predicted, but it is what Knowing Wheel needed. And we can't wait to hear about that next
week.
It'll
be a lot less wild than our first night in July when you were recording this podcast hungover.
I was slightly on the hungover side on one podcast, and you never let me forget it.
Indeed.
The big news, though, as we come to Suzuka, is Daniel Ricciardo related, isn't it, again? Because we still don't know for sure. We don't know whether it's... Exactly. We don't know whether this is just the New Zealand press getting ahead of themselves, but apparently Ricciardo already has an ultimatum from Red Bull about step it up or step out.
Yes. Yeah, and I think when you've got someone like Liam Lawson waiting in the wings who did a fantastic job as Yuki Tsunoda's teammate briefly last season for 4 races, that actually, if you've got a driver who's on a lot more money, let's be real, and is doing a lot worse, it's only really there for the PR. He's 3-0 in the quali against Tsunoda. He's 2-1, should be 3-0 in the race as well. It's fair enough. And for somebody, if one of us on this podcast predicted that Daniel Ricciardo would be driving the Red Bull by Monaco. So it's not looking good for whoever that might have been.
Who was that again? Sorry,
I think it might have been you, actually.
No, yeah. I wouldn't have said something that ridiculous. Surely.
No. Yes, sadly. Although I will caveat, Danny caveat, that this was, we've only seen it released by a New Zealand press company, so it might be that they're getting ahead of themselves, and you know that Denny Hulme might be coming back as well if you ask them carefully. Is he even New Zealander or is he Australian?
I believe he is the only New Zealand Formula One world champion.
Wow, look at that knowledge. That's insane from me. Yeah, so we'll see if it's true or not. No idea what the ultimatum is, but it's probably, you know, beat Tsunoda in the next two races or you're out or something like that.
I mean, yeah, it just is. Because, I mean, Lawson came in, and of course, obviously we do the race comparison, and it looked like he got the better of Yuki. Most of the races, there was some circumstance that meant he got ahead of him. I think it was only actually Japan that he truly did outrace him, and even then, that was Yuki got a little bit unlucky on lap one. But, yeah, you're kind of there going, you know, Ricardo. Yeah, it's... I didn't like the McLaren car. I didn't like another McLaren car. I don't like these regs. Well, hang on a minute, mate. These regs are around for another 2 years. Like, yeah. You're going to have to learn to like them or, you know, return in 2 years when no one's going to want you.
Nobody's going
to
hire
you. It just kind of feels now, doesn't it, of, you know, we kind of went through these ebbs and flows where obviously he left Red Bull, went to Renault, and we thought, okay, yeah, Ricardo, you know, it's not just a team. He has still got it, and this might work out. Then he went to McLaren, and you think, okay, maybe this is just a McLaren issue. Now he's come back, and we're kind of all going, it just feels like the writing is on the wall at this point, doesn't it, Jamie?
That it does.
He's not going to get to where either he believes he should be, or whether the team need him to be, or a bit of both, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah, and it does feel like he is a little bit on borrowed time. And actually, there's no evidence that he would be doing any better than Perez is at Red Bull.
No.
And it's almost like, well, why hang around then? So it is a shame because I think he's a good character to have on the grid just for popularity reasons. But if he's driving the way he's driving at the minute, he won't be around for a long time. So.
Exactly. And look at one of our other big characters in Formula 1, in Günther Steiner. Of course, he's now gone. And Haas have had one of their better starts to a season in recent years.
Certainly, in the context of how we expected them to do, they've been doing phenomenally
exactly. Well.
So,
exactly. Yeah, it was about 3 weeks before the season, wasn't it? The Haas were like, yeah, we're going to be distant backmarkers in the opening Grand Prix. Turns out Alpine went, nope, boys, that'll be us.
If that's my role, I'll take it. You ever seen Thomas Gray? That's a quote from a video on YouTube. You
I
might
don't
not
believe
have
so. I don't
well,
know. For sure.
Look it up. It's very good.
Okay.
Very, very
Jamie's
good.
Jamie's plugging other videos.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to stick with us, please, ladies and gents. We desperately need it.
Yes. Please stay. Watch up Thomas Gray after the video ends. There you go.
Obviously, the man that I predicted he would replace down at Red Bull, though, might still have a replacement bound at the end of the year, mightn't he? Because Red Bull have confirmed that there is interest in bringing Carlos Sainz back onto the roster. And it would make me laugh that we did all this talk about how the only person that Red Bull need is Ricardo who left, when it actually could be the only person that Red Bull need is Sainz who left before Ricardo left.
Yeah. They had their perfect lineup a decade ago, and the one that got away is now the one they want back. So, yeah, I think Carlos Sainz has the pick of the grid, to be honest. He can probably... I think there's any seat that is free, Carlos Sainz, if he was to call it
the principal.
Has a good
shout at.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
They would probably allow him to come in.
You look at high-profile drivers that are locked in next year. Who have we got? Max, Lewis and Leclerc, and George. That's basically it, isn't it? So there's a seat
Lando,
at Red Bull.
And Lando.
And Lando, yeah. There's a
and
seat
Oscar,
at Red Bull. Yeah. I swear, there's a few more. There's a few more. I don't think he'd ever want to go back to McLaren, to be honest.
No.
Unless they did become, you know, winners consistently. But you kind of think, you know, anyone is going to want to try and take that Red Bull seat if they believe there's a sniff at it. But at the moment, Sainz, probably the best shame.
In terms of what you'd get, I think performance-wise, he definitely is. It depends what they want in terms of, you know, a good teammate for Max, almost. Because performance-wise, back in 2017, Mercedes could have gone for someone exciting, but they knew they had a number one driver and they wanted a subservient number two. So I'm not saying Science would beat Max, but I think he'd make life more uncomfortable than Perez has been.
But when you look at apparently the other option is the other Spaniard in Fernando Alonso.
Yeah, true.
I think if anyone's going
to prefer Carlos, to be honest,
I think if anyone's going to deliberately try and make Max uncomfortable, it's going to be Fernando. Fernando's the kind of guy that would start hurling abuse at him under like 16 different Facebook accounts, just anonymously, just to try and rattle his cage.
Yeah, and it'd probably work with it'd definitely rattle Jos Verstappen for sure.
Exactly.
Richard, but yeah, I think Carlos Sainz has a great shout at any of them. In my head, I still think. You know what? You remember that we did a team prediction video a couple of weeks ago?
Yep.
And I got slated for saying that he'd end up at Aston Martin.
Yep.
I listened to an unnamed other podcast by Eddie Jordan and David Coulthard. and Eddie Jordan, who is like the seer of the Formula One paddock, said that Carlos Sainz will end up at Aston Martin.
Jamie.
There's been conversations going on. Double Spaniard at Aston, apparently, according to Eddie Jordan.
Oh, so, right, okay. So they're going to get rid of Stroll, are they?
Who's beating Lewis Hamilton in the championship? Yeah, probably not. But it could happen. There's been conversations.
In my head, I
do think Alonso to Mercedes and Sainz somewhere else makes sense.
Remind me again, of course, how Eddie Jordan got into Formula One.
Money?
Well, he owned an F1
team.
Yeah,
he owned a team, yeah.
What was that team called again?
Jordan.
And who did they become?
They're Aston Martin. I was like, round the long way, but he is. The DNA is still in there somewhere, isn't it?
Oh, the factory is still the same place.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or it was. It's getting changed.
So you think
now,
he's just stirring the pot to try and get Aston a good driver?
I think Eddie Jordan's just mental, to be honest, but there we are.
That's called Lewis Hamilton the Mercedes about a month before it actually happened.
It's because everyone knew it was already happening.
No,
they
he was the first.
Talks.
He was the first.
Oh, behave, man.
Eddie Jordan is like, he's the guru of Formula One transfers.
If you honestly believe Eddie Jordan is the guru of Formula One, why are we even doing a podcast? he's just a senile old man. I mean, he's hilarious. But... He's just a little bit, you know.
We love Eddie Jordan. If he wants to come on this podcast, if he's not too busy talking to David Coulthard, we'll have him.
Exactly. If you fancy, we'll do a collab. We'll do a crossover at some point. We'll just have to not mention DT's chin for an hour.
Or ask me who won the Australian Grand Prix in 2003.
Exactly, yeah. Don't do any quiz for Jamie that involves David Coulthard at some point or another. Speaking of a quiz, though, Jamie, you've helped me segue beautifully to it, kind of.
Oh, lovely.
Your quiz this week is actually inspired by one of my viewers on Twitch last night, because I was having some conversations, trying to explain to my Twitch followers how Formula One tracks work. Okay. So we're gonna test your knowledge of how Formula One tracks work today. There are, I believe, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 correct answers to your quiz.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you a minute this time.
That seems manageable.
Pretty simple. Every anti-clockwise Formula One
Ooh.
Track. Go.
Ever or currently?
No, currently. Sorry, on the calendar.
Where do you turn left out the pit lane? Istanbul Park is the first one I can think of. Technically Suzuka, half of it is anti-clockwise.
No, I'm not having that.
Where do you turn left on the F1 games? Brazil?
Yep. I mean, you don't have to just turn left out of the pit lane for it to be anti-clockwise.
Oh, do you not? I thought that was it.
I mean, it's a pretty good indicator, but it's not a guarantee.
This is really difficult.
You got 25 seconds.
I'm just
going to
name the tracks. Jeddah, Sakhir...
Jeddah's correct.
Las Vegas, Miami.
Las Vegas, correct.
Kota,
Miami's correct. Kota's
Spa,
correct.
Italy. Zandvoort. Abu Dhabi.
10 seconds. Yeah, Abu Dhabi's correct.
Qatar. Hungary.
And your time is up.
That was
pretty
scattergun. That was rubbish.
That was pretty terrible, I'll be honest. I thought you'd be better at that.
I don't know. I haven't played the F1 game in about 3 years. So I was...
you don't need to play the F1 game to work this out, surely.
I'm not in a helicopter or a drone. Why would I know which way the cars are going around?
Well, you've always got to remember the cars, which way the cars go around. Because it staggered me, because we were talking about this on my stream last night, and the amount of people that didn't get how it works. Like, everyone was adamant. Like, if you can picture Miami for a second, that it's a clockwise track. And I'm like, it just simply isn't.
No, it isn't. Yeah.
And but you go right out of turn one.
Yeah, but I think this must be mathematically true, that if it's anti-clockwise, it has more left turns than right.
Not necessarily. Correct. COTA has 10 of each. It just depends on how the radius of those
corners is. How much you
is.
Turn, yeah, I guess. You could have like 10 turns of 1 degree and then one turn of 180.
There's no guarantee of... there's like no prerequisite to guarantee that the track is anti-clockwise. Because you did forget three more there. You got six out of nine in the end, which is probably more impressive than it should have been.
Yeah, just by shouting out tracks at this point.
Imola?
Okay.
Which is an oddity, because it's an old-school track that was anti-clockwise.
It feels like that's clockwise in my head.
I think it's because it's a classic track, and it's pretty much one of the only ones that isn't. Baku?
Okay, yeah.
And Singapore?
Oh, you turn left out the pit lane there, don't you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. To be fair, all three of those turn one is a left. Miami is a proper oddity, but it's kind of because it folds in on itself.
Yeah. Well, for more interesting conversations like this, tune into Matt's Twitch.
Exactly, apparently. I just started getting angry at people in the end, which is fantastic quality as a Twitch streamer.
We would care about our viewers loads.
Because people couldn't accept the fact that I was, in fact, right, and I refused to back down on it.
There you go.
And, of course, you know, continuing on with my refusal to back down, and I'm always correct, shall we do our predictions for the Japanese Grand Prix? What are the scores on the doors coming into
this?
It's
actually quite close, isn't it, after you fluked a bunch of points in
Australia. I had a proper Jamie result in Australia.
So it's currently 12-9 to me.
Wonderful. Someone had posted, I don't know if you saw this, 4 years ago, after a battle between Leclerc and Verstappen, going who genuinely 4 year ago comments saying who's here after their crash at the 2024 Japanese Grand Prix. Wow. So we know that is definitely happening.
Well, you should die on that hill and predict a Sainz win again.
No. I am going to say high speed. Oh, I'm going to have to be really boring because I'm still callers. Behind. Yeah. I'm going to still say Max pole, Max win, because he always loses his win streak on the Grand Prix before Japan and then comes back with a vendetta.
Always that one time it happened.
Twice it's happened.
When was his other win streak?
Singapore last year.
Oh, yeah. No, that's I guess. But he hasn't won Japan yet, so it's only actually happened once. What if this streak is over? He just doesn't win a race for three races.
He just never wins again. Fantastic.
He just stays. Carlos Sainz world champion.
Oh, I'd love to see it. I would love to see that with Ferrari get rid of him at the end of the year.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say Max. I'm gonna say Lando P2.
That's what I was gonna do.
Good. And I'm gonna say I think the Sergio Perez downfall is beginning. He was a minute off the win last week, although that was slightly skewed by the VSC.
He had a nightmare at this track last year, didn't he?
He did. So I'm going to say P3. Oh, I want to believe in Mercedes, but I just can't bring myself to do it.
Go for Piastri. Same as last year.
No, I'm not going to say the same podium as last year. I'm not expecting a Bahrain 2012, 2013. I'm going to say Charles Leclerc.
Cool. I was going to put the same pole win top two, but I won't. So I'm going to go Max pole. I'm going to go Max
win.
That's
the same. That's still the same.
Yeah, still the same. I'm going to put Perez P2.
Oh, okay.
And I don't actually think Perez is going to be two. I think I would put the same podium as last year. So for that reason, I'm going to be tactical and put Oscar Piastri in P3.
Oh, interesting.
To try and bank the 2 points.
Very interesting. Jamie trying to bring strategy
to
these predictions.
Indeed.
Which is
and Lance Stroll predictions.
Oh, Lance Stroll predictions. Apparently that's a thing now.
Beat Lewis Hamilton.
No, I'm going to say Stroll is back for a P10 finish this weekend.
I'll go for a little P9.
Interesting.
Q2 exit, P9 in the race. Hulk's going to get
P3
and fullback.
P11, he gets out-qualified by Yuki again. But
top of the midfield is
going to
be Tsunoda, because that's just how it goes.
Exactly. We love
home Grand Prix. could be the fourth ever. Third ever Japanese podium home scorer?
After Suzuki and Kobayashi.
Yes.
Sato never did he? I don't believe.
I don't think he did. So, yeah.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Have we got anything else to add, Jamie? Has there been huge F1 news since we started this? Because normally that's what happens. I'll check the Twitter sphere.
Williams are confident they fixed the car in time, which is always good when you've had 2 weeks. So
wonderful.
They'll be entering two cars this weekend unless Albon crashes one of them in practice again.
That would be quite funny.
Yeah.
No, I don't see anything else, which is fantastic. Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, thank you all so much for listening, as always. If you have enjoyed, please do make sure to leave a like. Let us know your Lance Stroll predictions down in the comments below, as well as your actual predictions for the weekend. And yeah, we'll return early next week then. It's quite nice when the Grand Prix is really a little bit spaced out, isn't it, Jamie?
Yeah.
We're under less pressure. But China returning after this one, you are looking forward to that as our resident Show Wanyu fan.
Let's go.
Wonderful. Wonderful.